أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at the letter that Imam Ali alayhi salam writes to his son Imam Hassan alayhi salam in with our look at Islamic ethics and education. Let's continue from where we left off. Imam alayhi salam tells his son, وَعَلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ Know, O my child, أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ لِرَبِّكَ شَرِيكٌ لَعَتْ لأتتك رسله ونرعيت آثار ملكه وسلطانه ولرعفت أفعاله وصفاته ولكنه إله واحد كما وصف نفسه لا يضاده في ملكه أحد ولا يزول أبدا ولم يزل. Know that if there had been a partner with your Rabb, his messengers too should have come to you, and you would have seen signs of his authority and power, and you should have known his deeds and qualities. But he is only one God, as he has described himself. No one can dispute with him in his authority. He is from ever and will be forever. He is before all things without any beginning. My son, he will remain after all things without any end. He is far too great to have his divinity proved by the encompassing heart or eye. When you have understood this, then you should do what is done by him who is like you by way of his low position, lack of authority, increasing incapability, and great need of his Rabb for seeking his obedience, fearing his punishment, and apprehending his anger, because he does not command you save for virtue, and he does not refrain you except to keep you away from evil. So if we look at the significance of that section, Imam Ali alayhi salam is discussing monotheism from a different angle. He's saying that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not unique and without association, then the association would have three qualities. The associate would send messengers to invite us towards his religion. He would have some territory of power, and he would have some manifestations of these traits. But because we observe that none of these traits have been realized, then we know definitely that there is only one God. And the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun explains this. It says, وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ Whoever invokes with Allah another God, he has no proof of it. The second thing that we find, that he's telling Imam Hassan al-Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everlasting. Then he says, look, he dominates everything. Nothing dominates him. His dominion is his. The whole kingdom is his. You know, there is no way that we can even imagine, fathom it. It's fathomless. It's like a straw. It will never reach the bottom of the ocean. And then he tells his son that the more you are aware, the more you will become duty bound. It's so beautiful. If we want to check our awareness, then see how many duties we perform, how many wajibats we do. And the human being's duties or responsibilities are really based on firm principles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask us to do anything that does not lead us towards our full potential. He doesn't stop us or advise us or recommends or orders us not to do anything unless it is taking us away from our full potential. Because remember, as we read in Ayatul Kursi, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ Allah is He who brings them out of the darkness into the light. And once we believe that, we've made it. That's it. That's what we need to do. Well, Imam continues and he tells his son, يَا بُنَيَّ O my son, إِنِّي كَدْ أَنْبَعْتُكَ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا وَحَالِهَا وَزَوَالِهَا وَانْتِقَالِهَا وَأَنْبَعْتُكَ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ وَمَا عُدَّ لِأَهْلِهَا فِيهَا I have informed you about the world, its condition, its decay, and its passing away. And I have informed you of the Akhirah, of the next world, and what has been provided in it for its people. He continues to tell his son, I have recounted to you parables about it, so that you may draw instruction from them and act upon them. He gives him an example. He says, the example of those who have understood the world is like the travellers, who being disgusted with a drought-stricken place, set off for greenery in a fruitful place. They endure difficulties on the way, separation from friends, hardships of the journey, unwholesome food, in order to reach their fields of plenty and place of stay. Consequently, they don't feel any pain in all this, and do not regard any expenditure to be a waste. Nothing is more lovable to them than what takes them nearer their goal and carries them closer to their place of stay. And then he gives them the other side. He said, against this is the example of those who are deceived by this world. They are like the people who are in a green place, but they become disgusted with it and went to a drought-stricken place. For them, nothing is more detestable than to leave the place where they were to go, to a place where they will reach unexpectedly and for which they are heading. It's an amazing parable. It's so beautiful. So he gives the example of two groups. One who have a macro picture ahead of them, a picture of the Akhirah, a picture of permanency. It doesn't mean that they lose the world, that they do not live in the world, but they're always aiming for that which has a permanence. And then you have a group of people who are only looking at a micro picture, and they haven't even contemplated looking at beyond death. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina hadu, O you who are Jews, in za'amtum annakum awliya'u lillahi min dunin nasi, fatamannaw al-mawta in kuntum sadiqin. If you think you're the favorites of Allah to the exclusion of other people, then invoke death if you are truthful. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ عَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And they will never invoke it because of what their hands have sent before. And Allah is aware of the unjust. Then look at what Allah says about death. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Say, O Muhammad, tell them, as for the death from which you've run away, it will surely overtake you. You shall be sent back to the knower of the unseen and the seen, and he will inform you of what you did. Someone asked Abu Dhar, the companion of Rasulullah, why do we hate death? And he said, the reason is that you have built the world but have destroyed your hereafter. It's natural for you to hate transferring from an improved land to a demolished one. Somebody had asked Rasulullah, he says, مَا بَالِ لَا أُحِبُّ الْمَوْتِ, why don't I love death? فَقَالَ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, لَكَ مَال, do you have wealth? And he says, نَعَمْ, yes. So the Prophet said, قَدْ قَدَّمَتْهُ, have you sent some of it beforehand? And he says, لا, no. And the Prophet said, فَمِنْ ثَمَّتَ لَا تُحِبُّ الْمَوْتِ, this is the reason why you hate death, because you have not prepared for the Akhirah. Inshallah, we will continue with this letter tomorrow.